Memorial Day 2022. It's kind of a different sermon for me than what I usually typically preach, but I thought it was important to share what I'm going to share. We're going to start off today. I want to read to you Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And it reads, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the profession that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those here that gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or to detract. The world will little know nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so notably advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we were highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Abraham Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address. From the time of the Civil War, our nation started remembering those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. It's hard to believe, but approximately 620,000 young men gave their lives during the Civil War. Memorial Day was first called Decoration Day. And when I grew up, that's how people referred to it. They referred to it as Decoration Day. And then it has gone and kind of changed over time to Memorial Day. Today, it is a national holiday of remembering those that gave the ultimate sacrifice so we can enjoy freedom, our freedom, in this country today. Many today could not tell you why we recognize this day. It's just a holiday. We also take time to also recognize those that have gone on before us. But there's also something else from this that I want to bring out today. You see, I do believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is written in the second paragraph of Article 1 of the Declaration of Independence. But to have this as a country, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we must first, as a nation, have Christ as our Savior. Turn with me to John 14 and verse 6. I don't have a lot of scripture today, but we will go to the ones that I do have written down, and we'll be there briefly, and then we will move forward to the next. But in John chapter 14 and verse 6, and there's so many of you that already know that by your heart, because you've said it for many, many years, but John 14, 6 says this, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That only through Christ is salvation available to each and every one of us. And I am the way, I am the truth, there is no other truth, and I am the life. There is no life outside of Jesus, only existence. And I praise God today for the years that I've been able to serve Him, and He has blessed me with life, He has blessed me with a purpose, He has blessed me because He has a plan for my life. And there's so many people that are going through life today, they're just going to work, they're just paying the bills, they're just looking for retirement, and then they're going to die. And that's all they have. But you today, as the chosen of God, know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He has a plan, and He has a purpose. And there is a joy in your heart, because you know that He lives, resides in your life forevermore by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Our life, true life, only comes through Christ. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5 and verse 1. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." So that's Galatians 5, verse 1, if you're just getting there. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And what he was teaching them at the time, not to be caught back up into the law, is what he was teaching them. But it also speaks to us today, that we need to stand fast in the liberty of which Christ has made us free. We have liberty today. We have been liberated from the bondage of sin by the grace of God. Life through Christ, liberty through Christ. And then John 15, 11. If you go with me to John 15, 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. In John 15 and verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. A nation that is submitted to God through the Lord Jesus Christ will see life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and it will be fulfilled in that nation. These inalienable rights," which mean they cannot be taken away from us by anyone in this nation, "but for a nation that turns its back on God, they can be taken away by God." And that's what we face in this nation today. As Christians, it's not time for us to sit down or to back away or to back up. But by the authority that is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell others about Jesus, to expand the kingdom of God wherever that we are at all times. We must. This world that we live in today, the United States that you live in today, it's a different place today than it was 10 years ago. It's a different place than it was 20 years ago. And it most certainly is a different place than it was 30 years ago. What is it going to be like another 10 years if we keep kicking God out of all of our institutions, that we don't want to serve God, we don't want God, and we continue to kill our children as never before? We're going to lose this nation because God is going to take it away. God will not be mocked, and He is not going to be mocked by the nation of the United States. We don't think this is going to all disappear in a vapor. Well, let me tell you, we can read the handwriting on the wall of what this nation is doing and the direction it is going if it does not get turned around for God. The people that gave their lives. And I remember seeing those graves over there in Normandy where there's just cross and there's just thousands of crosses of people that gave their life at D-Day and during those times so we could enjoy the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our freedom comes from our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It doesn't come from the Democrat Party. It doesn't come from the Republican Party. It comes from the mighty hand of God. And this nation needs to turn its eyes and its heart back to God today. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. All the way back into the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. Listen to these words that he gave the nation of Israel. And these words are so very, very true for us today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is after the dedication of the temple and God is honoring the work that Solomon has done. And it's just amazing when you look at verse 7 and you look at verse 1, it says, "When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Can you imagine that? You can't go in. The boys and I, the other day, we went back over to the old lodge. You remember the days when we thought maybe we could get that purchased, that maybe we were going to turn it into a church and maybe that's where our church would be because we didn't have a church. We were looking for a home. And we thought, well, maybe this will be it. Maybe this will be the place. And I walked back in there the other day and it smelled so moldy and so musty and the inside looked so decrepit. And I thought I just walked out of a place that was so beautiful. God, you got something better than I ever had planned. And God has got something good planned for you too. As children of God, He's got great plans for you. Well, you've heard me say it. I'm 66 years old, and the Lord has told me that I have my best years of ministry ahead of me. I don't care how old you are. The Lord is not done with you. He didn't even call Moses until he was 80 years old. He's not done with you. Don't sit down. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a lot to offer for the gospel to this world. He goes on to say, in verse 3, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement, worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Now go over to verse 14. We're going to see a solemn warning to the people of Israel. In verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as a covenant with David your father, saying you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But now listen. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes, my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, and the nation of the United States is serving other gods with a little g. And most of them gods are found within themselves. Verse 20, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them in this house which I have sanctified for my name. I will cast out of my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. As for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, what has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt, embraced other gods and worshiped them and serve them, therefore He has brought all this calamity upon them. What does it say in verse 20? That He is going to make them a byword. If that's this nation does not turn back to God, and I'm talking about the USA, it will become a byword to other nations. Now listen to these statistics. Only 37% of the pastors in the USA believe in a biblical worldview. Only 37%. Which means a worldview based on God's unchanging word. Since God is the creator of everything in heaven and earth, He is a standard for all truth. And only 37% of the pastors in the US believe this. 60% of the pastors in the United States have a worldview based on man and not God. It is a secular belief system. You would be astonished at the number of churches at one time that walked in the truth of God and they stood on the Word of God. And what do we say? That we believe the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. We proclaim the Word of God. And it's never going to change from this church. Amen? We're going to believe the Word of God. We're going to stand on the Word of God. And we're going to promote the Word of God. And you know, there's a lot of old-time churches that used to believe just the way you believe today. And those old-time believers would roll over in their graves and say they saw what was going on in their churches today. You got pastors climbing into the pulpit today that do not know Jesus. You got pastors climbing into the pulpit today. They don't even believe in the rapture of the church. How sad that is. And their congregations, what do they believe? What the internet tells them? What Snapchat tells them? Now listen to this. America has 384,000 churches. 100,000 of them will close in the next 3 years. 5 out of 10 churches to close in 10 years. 30 to 40% will close in the next 5. And the pandemic has even pushed it faster because people shut their churches down. There's only one thing, or the pastors are not preaching the word because they don't believe the word. Churches in Europe are nothing but museums. And many of the churches that people are going to in the United States are nothing but a museum of what they used to be. Only 40% of pastors believe in the biblical worldview. They don't believe the word, and they don't trust the word. Then what percent of churches say what we do? You say, that's a very small number. But what percent of churches believe the way we believe? That you believe the Word of God. You may not understand everything, but it doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 13 that yes, we lived through a glass darkly. In other words, you know in part, but someday you'll know everything that there is for the Lord when you walk through the gates of glory. There's probably things that I misunderstand, but I'm not going to ever misunderstand by not standing on the Word and believing what God says, and what God says is true. And if we're not doing that, we're making a huge mistake. If you can't believe that part, all of it, you can only believe part of it, that you can't believe any of it. If God says that He can heal, if God says by the stripes of Jesus Christ you are healed, then when you stand up here, I believe by the stripes of Jesus Christ you are healed. And if we believe anything different, we're making a mistake. How many churches today believe in the fourfold ministry of Christ? That He is a Savior, that He's our healer, that He's our baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and that He is our returning King. The percentage gets down very, very small, doesn't it? We're in a very small percentage of those that believe today. This worldview in our nation is pushing us faster and faster towards socialism. And socialism hates God. Socialism will not allow God. Communism will not allow God. Because it competes with them, and they want to rule, and they want to control. There's only one thing that is going to stop this nation from having a Memorial Day for this nation. A Memorial Day for this nation. We've already lost so much. There's only one thing that's going to stop that. Is that this nation returns to God. They're not going to stop school shootings by getting rid of guns. You know that as well as I do. It's already illegal to kill somebody, isn't it? But we can't control that. And how are we going to control anything else? A world of lawlessness this country has gone into because it's alienated their relationship from their Heavenly Father. And until this nation returns, things are not going to get better. They're only going to get worse. The answer is for us to return to God. Now, if you go back to 2 Chronicles 7, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 again, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble them, our nation's leaders need to submit their lives to God, that they don't have the answers. They don't hold the answers. That God holds those answers. If my people who are called by my name, my people, you and me, we need to stand in the gap for America. Because our world, our nation's leaders, so many of them are not going to do that. You need to stand in the gap for them. Between us and our relationship with the Lord, we need to ask for forgiveness for our nation. Forgiveness for how high people have alienated God. He says, and pray and seek my face. Well, we got to turn, don't we? We got to turn from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It's not too late for America, but we're running out of time. We know that everything is all in the Lord's hands, and we know that the return of the Lord is in His hands. But if there's one more person that we can get saved, we need to be working on that person. We need to get everybody that we can in the ark of Christ before the door is shut. Because we're heading in that day more rapidly every day. This church isn't just so we'll have a home. It's a great home. It's a beautiful home. I love hearing you guys sing in here. I mean, I can't believe the acoustics. I can just sit back and listen to you sing. It's just so great. And it's wonderful. But this church wasn't built for us. This church was built by God for God, for His work, for His glory, for His honor. For everyone that drives up and down this road for the testimony of not Crossroads Gospel or the testimony of Leo Fuqua, but the testimony of Jesus Christ will speak to everyone that drives up and down that road to draw them into a relationship with their Heavenly Father. This nation must return to God. And Father, this nation has walked away from You, but it's not too late to turn around and come back. And we call for America to be submitted to You and to Your authority and to Your statutes. That this once again would be a strong and mighty nation, led by not by man, but led by You, Father. And I pray that Your hand would be upon all of our leadership in Washington, D.C. And I pray that this prayer, as we stand in the gap for our nation and for our leaders, I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit would speak to every one of our leaders today across both sides of the aisle, that they need to turn their eyes back to You. The only way that we are going to solve the issues of our country is to be led by You and not led by them, that they would submit their lives to You. We pray over this Memorial Day for all of those that had given the ultimate price so we could enjoy the freedom that we have in this nation today. We never want to let it slip from our grasp. We thank You, Father. Be with us as we go our separate ways. May Your hand be upon each and every one of our life. And Father, if we have vacation plans tomorrow, that Lord, that Your traveling mercies would be upon our lives, and that Father, You would bless our families. I pray over this church. I pray over the families in this church today. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that You would open the windows of heaven and pour out Your blessings upon each and every one of them. And we today, as Your children, give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.